Thanking you for the opportunity and privilege of speaking here in the most exalted place of Srila Prabhupada's home, the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Sri Vrindavan Dham. A few verses from Sanatan Goswami's Sri Krishna Lila Stava, Glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam, before we begin. O nectar ocean from all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. O life air of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. I bow down to you who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and voice with pure love. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, entitled The Dynasty of Amsuman, Text 7. Darayasyati te vegam rudras tvatma sharinam yasmin oktam idam protam visvam sativa tantusu. Darasyasyanti te vegam rudras tvatma saririnam yasmin otam idam protam visvam sativa tantusu. Darasyati will sustain your vegam, force of the waves, Rudra, Lord Shiva, to indeed Atma, the super soul, Shiririnam, of all embodied souls, Yasmin, in whom Otam is situated in its longitude. Idam, this whole universe. Protam, latitude. Visvam, the whole universe. Sati, a cloth. Iva, as. Tantusu, in threads. So this is King Bhagirath's answer to the second concern of Mother Ganges. Like a cloth woven of threads extending for its length and breadth, this entire universe in all its latitude and longitude is situated under different potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of the Lord, and thus he represents the super soul in the embodied soul. He can sustain your forceful waves on his head. Let us all repeat together. Like a cloth woven of threads, extending for its length and breadth, this entire universe, in all its latitude and longitude, is situated under different potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of the Lord, and thus he represents the super soul in the embodied soul. He can sustain your forceful waves on his head. Purport by His Divine Grace, ISKCON's founder, Acharya, Jagadguru, Patita Pavana, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The water of the Ganges is supposed to rest on the head of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sustains the entire universe by different potencies. Lord Shiva is described in the Brahma Samhita 5.45. Shiram yata dadivikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitata pitag asti heto yan sambhutam apitata samupaiti karyad govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Milk changes into yogurt when mixed with a yogurt culture, but actually yogurt is constitutionally nothing but milk. Similarly, Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes the form of Lord Shiva for the special purpose of material transactions. I offer my obeisances at Lord Govinda's lotus feet. Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the same sense that yogurt is also milk, although at the same time, it is not milk. For the maintenance of the material world, there are three incarnations, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is Vishnu in an incarnation for the mode of ignorance. The material world exists predominantly in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, Lord Shiva is compared here to the longitude and latitude of the entire universe, which resembles a cloth woven of threads, extending for both its length and breadth. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Rave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Svayam Rupakada Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakuchatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Mandam Atergati Matsarvasva Padam Bojo Radha Madana Mohano Dibyad Vrindaranya Kalpa Jumada Srimad Ratnagara Singha Sarasto Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Pristalabhi Savya Mano Smarahami Srimad Rasa Rasarambi Bamsi Bhattatatastita Karshan Venu Svanar Gopir Gopinatha Shriyestuna Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Darasyasyati te vegam rudrastva atma sadirinam yasmin otam idam protam visvam sativitantusu. Like a cloth woven of threads extending for its length and breadth, this entire universe in all its latitude and longitude is situated under the different potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of the Lord, and thus he represents the super soul in the embodied soul. He can sustain your forceful waves on his head. So, King Bhagirath is three generations down the line of his fathers and grandfathers who tried to perform severe austerities to be able to deliver their forefathers who had disrespected Kapila Dev, and by that disrespect, their bodies lay in a pile burnt to ashes. So, King Bhagirath was able to please, actually it was understood that as told by Kapila Dev that they can be delivered by Ganges water and nothing more. So now, by the austerities of King Bhagirath, and it's interesting to remember that you can read in the Symptoms of Pure Devotional Service, the six characteristics in the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, that devotional service cannot be had unless it is blessed upon one by a pure devotee, and or that the Lord agrees himself to give himself to the devotee. Simply performing austerities is not enough. So the austerities of King Bhagirath must have been on a higher platform of devotional service, so much that they moved the heart of the Lord and Mother Ganges to grant his request. That is the purpose of austerities, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, and all other activities, is to realize me by realization, to realize me by pure devotional service. So, Mother Ganges had two considerations we were hearing in the last two verses. She was concerned that sinful people would bathe in her waters and that she would be overloaded by the sinful reactions. And the purport makes a very striking parallel to the pure devotee spiritual master who takes the charge on behalf of the Lord to rescue the fallen conditioned souls, make them disciples, ultimately, and engage them once again in the activities of pure devotional service in this human form of life, which done sincerely and steadfastly will certainly bring one back home, back to Godhead. And it's understood that the fallen conditioned soul has been in this material world performing sinful activities for many, many, many lifetimes. You can read in the third canto Kapila Dev's explanation of devotional service, how the practicing devotee should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a very long time. And it's likened unto that meditation, hurling thunderbolts on the mountain of sin that is kept as a big stockpile within the heart. Srila Prabhupada similarly speaking on nectar devotion here during the Kartik season 1972, He's praising the Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya, Chaito Darpanam Marjanam, Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvarpanam. That simply by chanting Hare Krishna with a determined vow throughout one's life, one can very easily get rid of all the dirt accumulated on the heart for lifetime after lifetime and be bestowed with the ultimate Vidya Vadu Jivanam, the bestowal and regaining of one's awareness of one's eternal loving relationship with Krishna in all purity. And Srila Prabhupada goes on to say, as Lord Chaitanya assured us, let there be all victory. There is guaranteed victory and success in this process. So hence, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya in his disciplic succession are mainly engaged in distributing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Yuga Dharma, to all the people of the world. So, and because such distribution of the pure chanting of the holy name can only be done by pure devotees, they have such power to elevate the conditioned souls. Prabhupada is describing how if one is sincere in his practice, of devotional service, he will certainly have the ability to deliver people. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to preach the Sankirtan movement of love of Krishna throughout the entire world, and therefore during his presence he inspired the Sankirtan movement. Specifically, he sent Rupa Goswami to Vrindavan and Lord Nityananda to Bengal, and personally he went to South India. In this way, he kindly left the task of preaching his cult in the rest of the world to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Yadubar and Vishakha Prabhus made a video of Prabhupada in Los Angeles. I believe this was June of 1975. And in Prabhupada's room, you see a very amazed, curious, humble, and ecstatic Vishnu John Swami asking Srila Prabhupada that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is such an empowered Mahabhagavat, how come he didn't deliver the whole material world? I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember exactly. And Prabhupada immediately, before Vishnu John Swami had said his piece, said that he is very kind, he is Vaishnava. He has left some devotional service for us to do. In this way, he, Lord Chaitanya, kindly left the task of preaching his cult in the rest of the world to the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. The members of the society must always remember that if they stick to the regulative principles and preach sincerely according to the instructions of the acharyas, surely they will have the profound blessings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and their preaching work will be successful all over the world. So, it's interesting to note here that Mother Ganges didn't have any more further concerns. In other words, she must have been satisfied by this statement. Those who are saintly because of devotional service and are therefore in the renounced order. Renounced order is for everyone, no matter who they are. If they give up, what are you renouncing? The illusory materialistic conception of life and accepting the devotional conception of life, that I am Krishna's eternal servant and devotional service is the only meaning of my life. That is the renounced order of life. Free from material desires and who are pure devotees, expert in following the regulative principles mentioned in the Vedas, are always glorious in pure behavior and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. Such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can vanquish all sinful reactions. we just completed in recent months here in Sri Vrindavan, the pastime of Durvasa Muni offending Maharaj Ambarish. And you can look here in the fourth chapter of this canto how Lord Narayan is telling to Durvasa Muni that I am completely under the control of my pure devotees because they have no other desire in this life or in the next than to serve me. How can I leave such devotees? And Prabhupada writes in the purport in that section that Krishna is completely self-sufficient. He is Atmarama. He doesn't need anyone's help to complete his pleasure. But at the same time, he requires the cooperation of his devotees to enjoy and expand his pleasure potency more and more. And Prabhupada lists the primary exalted devotees of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani and her associates, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Sridham, Subal, and the other cowherd boys. And Prabhupada goes on to say that similarly, this Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the pleasure of the Lord more and more by making more and more devotees. Any devotee who helps in this attempt becomes indirectly a controller of the Lord. You can read in the sixth canto when the system Payobrata worship that was instructed by Kasyapa Muni Taditi, which is the worship of Lakshmi Narayan. Prabhupada writes a purport there about how the greatest opulence of the Lord is that he requires the service of his devotees or is controlled by the devotees' pure, unmotivated service. And he gives three examples. Sometimes his temple is very old and he orders his devotee to repair it. Sometimes he is lost in the jungle, as in the case of Gopal on Govardhan Hill, and he asks his devotee Madhavendrapuri to rescue him. And sometimes he asks his devotee, so this is a very beautiful Prabhupada gem where he reveals in his Bhaktivedanta purports his intimate relationship with Krishna. Sometimes he asks his devotee to preach his name and fame all over the world, although he, the Lord, is completely sufficient to do the work himself. One who's perceived this intimate relationship between the Lord and his service can actually and his servitor can actually understand the ultimate opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Mother Ganges is satisfied by this, but what was her other concern? When I fall from the sky to the surface of the planet Earth, the water will certainly be very forceful. Who will sustain that force? If I am not sustained, I shall pierce the surface of the Earth and go down to Rasatala and Patala area of the universe. So what is the answer? Lord Shiva. And that brings us to today's verse. And this reveals the very intimate connection between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. Actually, Govinda, as Prabhupada translates this Brahma Samhita verse, Lord Govinda assumes the form of Lord Shiva for the special purpose of material transaction. In this statement lies the complete and perfect science of Yukta Vairagya, as Srila Prabhupada, and as he learned it from his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, championed. Renouncing material things that can be used in the service of the Lord is not at all renunciation, but to dovetail things, concepts that material people are attached to and show them how they can ultimately be engaged in pure devotional service. And the Lord is so kind that he allows the beginner, who is still attached very much, but still has strong desire to ultimately achieve the goal of life, to engage in his or her natural activities or propensities within the canopy or shelter of the salutary Vedic directions authorized by the Acharya, the bona fide spiritual master, so that they become pure devotees very soon, as quickly as possible. So that is ultimately Lord Shiva's position. Now, we have the memory of His Holiness Mukunda Maharaj, who was being given Mridanga lessons by Srila Prabhupada, 1966 or 1967. And Mukunda Maharaj noted how I'm just learning the basic beat, just a beginner, and Srila Prabhupada was relishing it in ecstasy. And he realized how Prabhupada is such a master, he's a teacher, that even though he could teach the most basic elementary to rank beginners, you know, hippies, people's heads are all clouded, this and that, but at the same time, because he's understanding what it leads to, he's not, oh, I can't come down to this level. I can only teach those on a higher level or on the highest level. So bhakti is bhakti. Narottam Das Thakur says in the Prema Bhakti Chandrika, and he gives the example of the mango, unripe and ripe mango. Sadhana bhakti and full-fledged ragatmika and raganuga, which is ultimately the practice of ragatmika bhakti, are the same devotional service. But sadhana bhakti is when devotional service is still not ripened. It's in the immature stage. So Lord Shiva in particular, he is known as Mahadev. He's the father of this material world. In particular, taking charge of the mode of ignorance, as it's mentioned here in the purport, the material world is predominantly in the mode of ignorance. No matter what mode or mixed mode one is in, if one is not in knowledge of one's eternal relationship with Krishna, one is in ignorance. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master has opened and is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So, and we see here in Vrindavan what an important position Lord Shiva plays. He's Gopishvar Mahadev. Actually, in the four main directions of Vrindavan, he is situated. Bhuteshvar in Mathura in the south. Here in the east is Gopishvar. Nandishvar in the west. And who can help me out? Am I right with Kameshvar in the north? Anyway, so he is guarding Sri Vrindavan Dham. In particular, he is guarding the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He is guarding Ras Mandal. And even you can go to Bumsibat Maharastali near Gopishvar Mahadev Temple, and you see that Lord Shiva has a murti in his Gopi Deha, in his Gopi form. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in his Vrindavan Mahimamrita, he is glorifying Lord Shiva as Gopishvar. Gopishvar Mahadev, all glories to him, who is protecting the Ras Mandal. So, Lord Shiva as Vaishnava Yatasambhu is extremely great and praiseworthy. And similarly, in the eighth canto, we see when the churning of the milk ocean reached a critical point where the very powerful Halahata poison was spreading, threatening to kill everyone in the universe. Very powerful poison. Just as we see here, Bhagirath, after making these two statements of assurance to Mother Ganga, you'll see in the next two verses, 8 and 9, how he approaches Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva's Ashutosh is pleased immediately. He accepts the proposal right away and says, "Let it be so." So all the demigods prayed to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva, out of great compassion, he took He took in his palm the Halahata poison, shrunk the whole ocean of it into his palm, and drank it. And he was so powerful, he could accept all that. And then Prabhupada gives the example that if those try to imitate Lord Shiva by taking intoxicants and smoking hashish and ganga or having illicit sex, they will certainly be killed right away. Lord Shiva, as the supreme incarnation of Lord Vishnu, he can do superhuman things. We should not imitate. So Lord Shiva made statements that, yes, I will certainly do this for the sake of the fallen conditioned souls, without hesitation. And Shukadeva Goswami speaks this important verse. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parama Aradhana, who is present in everyone's heart. Here is an explanation of how those engaged in activities for the welfare of others are very quickly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one of Prabhupada's most quoted two verses from the Bhagavad Gita, 1860:8-9, Na idam paramam guyam mab bhakteshu abhidasyati na chatasman manusheshu kaschin me priyakritama. One who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees, that seeing sarvabhuteshu, that all living entities are his parts and parcels. Everyone is a devotee. This is the vision of the Mahabhagavat. Not that we're devotees here in this room and people outside. One devotee was saying to me, you know, L.A., New York, all these big cities, just nuke them. And I was thinking, well, that's not exactly feeling compassion for all the fallen conditioned souls, is it? To my devotees is most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. So this certainly makes us think in great gratitude and exalted transcendental happiness of Srila Prabhupada, who epitomizes this verse. Prabhupada was speaking in Dr. Mishra's yoga studio before moving to the Bowery in the late winter, early spring of 1966. Luckily, it's recorded, and there's some well-wishing lady who's responding to Prabhupada saying, I have my place in Sri Vrindavan Dham, that most exalted place. I could be very happy there. No care or anxiety, no difficulty. But why am I here? I'm not happy here. And the lady goes, yes, I know. Because I am duty-bound by my superior. Therefore, despite all my inconveniences, I have a message for you people. And you can listen to those early lectures and speeches of Srila Prabhupada, particularly on Bhagavad Gita, speaking with such humility, such urgency, such love and compassion. Prabhupada, at the age of 69 years old, boarded a 5-week freight boat voyage, suffered 2 heart attacks at sea, landed in New York City in 1965. No contact, no money, no institutional backing from back in India, no prior knowledge of what was awaiting him, what to expect. And simply by executing the order of his spiritual master, with resolute faith and determination, Prabhupada speaking on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's disappearance day 1 year, I believe it was in Los Angeles, that, and he would quote, the explanation of the Vyasyatmika Buddhir, 241 Bhagavad Gita by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I noted this very deeply, that one should accept the order of the spiritual master of one's life and as one's life and soul, and execute that order without consideration of one's personal gain or loss. So I tried a little bit in that spirit, and things have come to this position. I think I'm mixing lectures, pardon me. Who knew that I would come to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur's shelter? Who knew? You know, he was born in a different family, I was born in a different family. Who knew that you American boys and girls would come to me? This is all Krishna's arrangements, Krishna's mercy. We have a little foothold now. People are suffering for want of this movement. You should try to push it on. Prabhupada speaking on the 31st December 1976 in his Juke quarters in Juhu, Bombay, that I took the order of my spiritual master very seriously. I take it seriously still now. And he was particularly mentioning the publishing, translating, publishing, printing, and distribution of his books as the number one activity in this Krishna consciousness movement. One who preaches the message, no one can excel him. So we should take note that if the goal is to please Krishna, and Krishna is pleased by the pure devotee, the Mahabhagavat Acharya being pleased, and what is the thing that he is most absorbed in, the most desirous to be done? Well, I should do that as well. Whatever my capacity is, whether we be a chipmunk or we be a big Hanuman or Sugriva throwing a pebble, flicking a pebble or a mountain peak, if we do it with whole heart, as Lord Ramachandra respected the chipmunk, because this entire Krishna consciousness movement is geared to distributing mercy to the people. To benedict the world with mercy is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement. And this is at the end of Pradyumna Mishra, instructed by Lord Chaitanya, Antilila chapter 6, where Ramananda Roy, who seemingly by caste was in a much lower position than Pradyumna Mishra, a born Brahmin, and also how Lord Chaitanya, the example he made, Haridas Thakur, a Mohammedan by birth, the prime authority on the Yuga Dharma, Rupa and Sanatan, the Rasa Acharyas, and they had also been ostracized, showing how pure devotional service has nothing to do with any material consideration. So, to benedict the world with mercy was shown this way by Lord Chaitanya and later by other Acharyas. And then he goes on to say, Srila Prabhupada, that this Krishna consciousness movement is carrying forth the very same qualitative and quantitative activities, because the same principles are being followed and the same activities are being carried out without fail. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? If one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord, who is within everyone, supplies him whatever he wants. Make the words of the spiritual master one with one's heart. I do not desire to have anything else to remain within my heart. Love for the lotus feet, which means love for the order of the spiritual master, raises one to the highest goal. So we should be very vigilant, we should be very determined, we should be very eager to make our desires only what is desired by the pure devotees and by the Lord and his associates. Then we'll actually understand what our real desires are. We don't have to think of anything. We don't have to ask for anything. Srila Prabhupada, I had no question for my spiritual master except one. How may I serve you? The best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness, since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. He cannot bear, it pains him like anything, to see people merged in an ocean of nescience. He can clearly see that their so-called enjoyment is just the flip side of suffering. Actually worse than suffering, because it's bewildering them more and more. And therefore he's always busy propagating Krishna consciousness. And this is the sadhana, and this is the lifestyle demonstrated to us par excellence by our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Even if one is not successful in reclaiming all the fallen souls back to Godhead, still, because he is Krishna conscious and or because he tried his utmost, his path to Vaikuntha Loka is open. He personally becomes qualified to enter the Vaikuntha Lokas. Prabhupada says in the Adi Lila chapter 7, we should never think that we ourselves are great devotees. Nadanam najanam na sundari. We don't want fame. We don't want acclaim. We don't need respect. We don't need adoration. Prabhupada miraculously knew how to direct Hansadutta and company, driving a beat up old hippie bus in his May 1968 visit to Boston to the Commonwealth Pier. There's a photograph of Prabhupada wearing a black and white checkered overcoat, and he's overlooking the Commonwealth Pier, and he's looking, you know, dreary Boston Harbor at dawn. He sees unalloyed steel, A&P written there. Prabhupada said, they have unalloyed steel, but we have unalloyed devotion. And one devotee asks Prabhupada, what if no one hears our message? And Prabhupada says, we are prepared to cry in the wilderness if necessary. If a pack of asses, praying donkeys, says that you're good, what is that? We want a certificate from Krishna that this man or woman, this person, has done something for me. So if anyone follows such a devotee, we should simply pray to be instrumental to the predecessor acharyas. And that was one of the very attractive features of Srila Prabhupada. He didn't present himself like, I'm it, or I'm the new thing, or I'm something special. I'm simply the humble servant of my Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada writes at the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita, if he was, my Guru Maharaj was present, it would be a time of great rejoicing. But even though he is not physically present, I know that he is present in his vani. I never felt alone. And when asked about Prabhupada, how did you fare in New York all alone? I was not alone. My spiritual master was always with me. This Krishna consciousness movement has been established to execute the order of Sri Sriman Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We're distributing the big Prabhupada Darshan book with photographs. And there's a very beautiful two-page photograph. I believe it's Prabhupada in Gorakhpur, 1971, Bhakti Siddhanta Disappearance Day. And there's a little humble altar, and there's a picture of his Guru Maharaj with flower garlands and flowers, and there's a beautiful, maybe 100-year-old Brijbasi print painting of Radha and Krishna in a window kind of alcove, and lit candles, and Prabhupada is just very humbly coming, offer flowers to his Guru Maharaj. So if anyone follows such a devotee, he also enters into Vaikuntha Loka. And Prabhupada would We say, because you are helping me in my mission to my spiritual master, you are all guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. Others who engage in envious activities are known as karmis. Karmis are envious of one another. Jnanis are not sinful as karmis, but they do not try to reclaim others back to Godhead. They perform austerities for their own liberation. Yogis are also engaged in self-aggrandizement by trying to attain mystic powers. But devotees, Vaishnavas, or servants of the Lord, come forward in the actual field work of Krishna consciousness to reclaim fallen souls. The Lord says there's no one dearer to him than those who preach the gospel of Bhagavad Gita to the world. All the Shastras conclude, therefore, that spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world because of the ultimate benefit this bestows upon people in general. The Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee. So we can thank King Bhagirath for convincing Mother Ganga and Lord Shiva for accepting the task of coming down from the causal ocean through the heavenly planet. She's known as the Mandakini. Ganges, the heavenly planet, coming to this world. And not just delivering the sons of Maharaj Sagara, but delivering all of us in this material world. So it's interesting to note how the Ganges delivered them to the heavenly planets. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in purporting Lord Chaitanya's statement, "I've come with the Osadhi medicine to deliver you from illusion. Now take this Hari Nam Maha Mantra. Nija Sharva Shaktis, most potent holy name of Krishna, not to deliver people to the heavenly planets, but to deliver them back home to Goloka Vrindavan, to Sri Vrindavan Dham." So this Krishna Balaram Mandir Yatra, by the hard work of so many devotees over now some 44 years, as Prabhupada wrote in his last purports, "A devotee desired, let there be a temple and seva, and what was once an empty corner has now become a great transcendental place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of the pure devotee." And by executing the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, he wanted this temple to be on the highest level of purity, cleanliness, exemplary. He would say that if some of my disciples could live here as real Goswamis, that would be very inspiring. Because ultimately, the devotees all over the world are preaching Krishna consciousness, and they themselves need to come to Sri Vrindavan Dham to become recharged, reinvigorated, and re-inspired to go back out and take the message of Sri Vrindavan Dham. As Prabhupada writes in the fifth canto, the devotees are preaching in big cities where the materialistic way of life is predominant: New York, Los Angeles, Stockholm, Moscow, London. But they're not living in those cities, they're living in Vrindavan, because we hold Harinam Sankirtan. We live in Vrindavan and nowhere else. And those who hear about Krishna consciousness from the lips of Srila Prabhupada's sincere servants will come to Sri Vrindavan Dham to learn more what is the ultimate goal of life. So if your duty is to remain here in Sri Vrindavan Dham, then be very, very enthusiastic. Srila Prabhupada called this temple a lazy, intelligent man's preaching paradise. Because you don't have to travel all over the world, the whole world travels to you. But similarly, if by the desire of the Lord and the pure devotee, that your Prabhudatta Desh is outside of Vrindavan, you should keep in mind that you are only preaching the glories of Sri Vrindavan Dham. I forget what scripture it's described in, but it is said that if you leave to leave after coming to Sri Vrindavan Dham, like we say, once going, one never returns. That is my supreme abode. If you come to Vrindavan and then leave Vrindavan, that is an offense. But if you leave Vrindavan, the only reason to leave Vrindavan is to preach the glories of Vrindavan all over the world. Like a cloth woven of threads extending for its length and breadth, this entire universe in all its latitude and longitude is situated under the different potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of the Lord, and thus he represents the Supersoul in the embodied soul. He can sustain your forceful waves on his head. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Radha Shama Sunda Lalita Vishaka Devi Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Haribol.